New York starts with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Good morning! Call his wife and hey, how we doing? 402. McMonagle here with you on the fan. 888-808-1019. Taking your calls for another hour as we're talking almost everything. We did a little football, but baseball was the topic of the day as both teams have now come out of the gate of this second half playing lackluster baseball. The Yankees have lost two of the first three to Tampa Bay with a game later this afternoon, and the Mets dropped the first two of three to the lousy Miami Marlins and will play them later tonight to finish up a four-game set, and they obviously need to win that game. But the inability for either of these two teams to come out of the gate playing good, clean baseball, which the Mets had heading in. I mean, we talked about how important those six games were, and I think we're past that now, right? I think we're past the idea of these games being imperative to make a decision for David Stearns, right? That's what I've been preaching with the Mets. Every win is critical. You're going to have to try and make sure and reinforce, because I do believe, and I still believe, that Stearns, if he had nothing else holding him back, his inclination would be to sell, rebuild this team, shape it in his image, and go about, building a foundation of success for the long term, answers for this Met team that hasn't had one in forever. I mean, they make back-to-back playoff appearances. They throw a party for it. So that's what needs to change moving forward. But I think we're past that point. I think they've done enough winning, and Nimmo and Alonso can, put down, get off their soapbox and stop, demanding that the teams make moves, especially Pete Alonso, who's done nothing to help this team. Big double play in the first inning on Friday night, just threw, I made an error that almost cost them the game on Saturday. Just, he's been awful. And forget trading him. I mean, we talked about, I thought for sure, me and Fliegelman were preparing for this time. We went over and over, like, wait, here we go. The entire Met conversation is going to be trading Pete Alonso. Do they trade Pete? Do they not trade Pete? Like, what should they get for Pete? Can they re-sign him after they trade him? Like, these are all the conversations we were expecting to have as the Met season was fading away. And yet they've turned it around. And now not only are we talking about Pete not being traded because they're not trading away pieces, but also he's got no value. That's how bad Pete Alonso has been. For someone not maybe as vocal as Nimmo, but someone who at the All-Star game is talking about, yeah, we look to add pieces, yeah, we believe in this team. He's done nothing to help his cause. Nothing. He's killed them over these games, and while the offense is cool, because guess what? Here's an idea. You weren't going to get a 280 Bader the entire season. You weren't going to get Vientos killing the ball all year long. You weren't going to get an aging J.D. Martinez to be hot forever. You weren't going to get Brandon Nimmo to put the team on his back for, more than a month. You got about as much as you could. Not to saying Nimmo's going to be bad the rest of the year, but, I mean, he was killing it. You can't expect Iglesias, Vientos, Bader, Taylor. Like, you can't expect all of the entire bottom half of your lineup to have career years all going at the same time. You need your star to be a star. You need the guy the franchise didn't want to trade away because he's going to be the best player in the position player in Mets history. You need that guy to show up, and you need him to show up now. Because this is a team still, whatever they're going to add, they are now tied with the Diamondbacks, tied with the Padres for that last playoff position, and only a half a game above the surging Pittsburgh Pirates. And for the Mets right now, unfortunately, the Yankees had built themselves a little bit of a cushion, which has now evaporated. But the Mets did not do that for themselves. The Mets have put themselves in a position where you can't go 500 over the first six games against the two worst teams in the National League. And unfortunately, that's what they've done here. And the offense, which was on record-breaking pace and was without question the driving force of this hot streak that has thrusted them right back into a playoff position. It's cooled off a bit, and you knew it was going to come. And now it's time for the guys who weren't there for it, namely Pete Alonso, to step up and do something. Because that's what they're going to need. Because as much as we've been impressed by the starting pitching, and as much as the bullpen has had its moments and Diaz kind of has gathered himself and had a good series here against Miami after it being kind of a tough place for him. I think they said that on the broadcast. You got the injury from the World Baseball Classic in that building. You got the arguably the worst loss of the year against the Marlins and the blown save earlier in the season. So it's kind of been a house of horrors for him and the Mets, let's just be totally honest, for years. I mean, the last HA, all of it. They've killed them for years. And right now they have a winning record against the Mets and they can't buy a win against anybody else in the division. And you can't afford it. You can't afford to lose to bad teams. Just the Mets do not have that luxury as they're battling at now two games over 500 with the Diamondbacks and with the Padres and with the Pirates. Can't afford it. And right now, Pete Alonso is going to have to do. And yeah, they're going to look to add. And we'll see if they can get a reliever. And we'll see at what level they're willing to ship prospects. When the thing that scares me and what I think scares a lot of Mets fans is I've taken, you know, a couple of calls here on the Mets, is that how motivated are they? Sure, okay, they're not going to sell. Okay, we get that. They're not going to give up on the year. This certainly isn't like last year. The team's far better. They're in a better position than last year. They're right there. So the selling is done as we are now 8 days away from the trade deadline. Selling is done. And I think buying is on the table. But at what price? What market? Are you shopping for rentals? Are you willing to give up prospects for rentals? Is that something? Is that how far and how dramatic a shift in thought process this general manager will have based on being tied for the last playoff spot? Or is it more of, well, you know, do more things like Maton, like guys who have maybe currently struggling, you can get on the cheap, who've had previous success that you think you can tap into, just major league arms where you didn't have any in the bullpen over the last couple weeks? Or are you looking to seriously upgrade and give this team a legitimate chance to go compete with the Phillies, with the Braves, with the Dodgers? And for the Yankees, there's no doubt. They're all in. The question is, will they be willing to part with their big prospect in Spencer Jones? Excuse me. And if so, on what level? And will they be willing to ship him out for a infielder the likes of Paredes, who I think is having a great year and has been good since he's made the trade to Tampa Bay, but is he someone you're willing to trade away your top prospect for? I mean, these are the questions. Are the Mets so far into this that they're willing to move major prospects to seriously upgrade? And is Brian Cashman willing to make uncomfortable moves? He has been unwilling to do so for years. He finds deals he's comfortable with or he doesn't make them. And this year, I don't think he'll have that luxury. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you on the Fan. Let's get to the calls. Glenn in Long Branch. What's up, Glenn?
C-Mac, so I'm driving home from my kids' Little League game yesterday morning.
Okay.
Well, late morning, early afternoon, I'm listening to the Yankees. Right? You know, first two innings, when they leave the bases loaded, I said to him, he's in the back seat, he's 9 years old, he bleeds Yankees. I said, they're gonna lose this game.
Yep.
He said, Dad, it's the second inning. I said, you cannot leave the bases loaded, two innings back-to-back. The guy, the pitcher is Boz or whatever, he's obviously looking to, they could have blew this game wide open.
No doubt.
And even later in the broadcast, Susan, you know, you could tell the frustration in her voice too.
Sure.
She said the Braves are giving this game away, and the Yankees cannot take advantage of it.
100%.
And
these games have played to a script. I'll let you finish. Hold on. These games have played to a script early on. Either the starting pitching just gets lit up early on, or the offense leaves, you know, small village on the base path. It's happened time and time again. And you're right. When it happens, the immediate feeling is, here we go, they're going to lose this game. You're 100% right.
Yeah, you have no confidence and then battling back, and if they fall behind and catching up, which is crazy because, like you said earlier, the run differential is we still lead baseball, and it's but that was
only second to Philadelphia. They lead the American League, and they are only second to Philadelphia in run differential, which is crazy. It's crazy considering how bad they've played for how long.
Now, another thing, too. Two more things, and I'll hang up. One of the things that drives me nuts, and I don't keep stats on it or anything like that, is how many times you see the Yankees, the opposing pitcher will walk two guys in a row, and then a guy will get up, whether it be Volpe or whoever it is, they swing at the first pitch. After the opposing pitcher walks two guys in a row, they'll swing at the first pitch. They won't let him throw a strike to them. They'll swing at the first pitch, they'll pop it up, they'll get themselves in an 0-1 hole right off the bat, they'll ground it to a double play. It is the most frustrating thing to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I know that's, I mean, I'm not as hung up on that as you are. I get it. These are still Major League Baseball pitchers, and if you think you're typically off two walks, especially on a guy who's struggling, like Gleyber Torres, for example, or Volpe, who struck out a lot. If Volpe comes up and the guy just walked two guys, and you're thinking you're going to get a fastball down the middle because he ain't walking the third, and I don't want to fall behind a guy because I'm off and I'm in front of breaking balls and I'm late on fastballs. I'm sitting dead red fastball, and if I get it, I'm swinging at it. I mean, it's hard. I don't really have a problem with that. I understand it sucks when you hit into a double play with it, and there are certain times where you can sense the guys on the ropes where it'll bother me a little bit, but I think we get hung up on it. I understand a guy who's struggling doesn't want to fall behind and strike out, and he's looking for a fastball down the middle because he's figuring the guy doesn't want to walk three. The problem is you got to hit that fastball down the middle. Like I've seen that with Verdugo a bunch. You know who else I've seen it with who's actually starting to hit the ball well? Wells. Wells has had these long, great at-bats, and it's like, okay, yeah, Wells, way to work a walk on a 12-pitch at-bat. Great. He missed three fastballs down the middle. Can someone please drive a baseball? And that's why I have no problem with Juan Soto. None. And I don't he's Juan Soto. He's got the bases loaded and a 3-0 count. If he gets a fastball he likes, put it in play. We've been killing the guy. The only negative we have on him is he's looking for walks. He's looking for walks, right? Early on in the year when they were winning and there's nothing else to complain about, Juan Soto looks for walks, right? Sal had a whole thing on it. Looks for walks. They've got two hitters to Severino's point. They got two hitters in the lineup that are dangerous right now. If he's got bases loaded and he knows a fastball down the middle's coming 3-0, you would think I want him taking it? I don't. I want him hitting it. I just don't want him hitting it on the ground right to the second baseman. Well, right to the first baseman in this case. Like that, like sometimes it just happens, man. And it feels like for them, there's some sort of self-fulfilling prophecy that they're gonna do it. And right now the Mets have gone through it a little bit too, and they've struggled offensively. They've had some guys on. Pete Alonso hit into a big double play. It's happened, but the Yankees have mastered it. The Yankees have mastered not scoring runs, particularly early in the game. 100%. They get bases loaded, you know they're not going to score. And when it happens, you know they're not going to win. That's the vibe around the team right now. Tony in New Milford. What's up, Tony?
Hey, C-Mac, the big kahuna. How the hell are you?
What's going on, buddy? How are you?
Not much. I'm doing well, thanks. So, you didn't get yourself stuck on top of any water slides or anything like this.
Not today, no. Well, and it wasn't a water slide, but no, I'm...
Yeah. I remember that story
this was,
the last time.
Yes. No, this was just I had a vacation. It was just a stay home. I'm going away again in late August with the family. But this one was just... You know, I got the time, it's summer, and I wanted to just stay home, not have anything to do, catch up on some much-needed sleep, maybe play some golf, and none of it happened. And tomorrow we'll talk about all my grievances with what happened on vacation.
You got to tell us you're a funny guy. You got to tell us more about your golf game as the shows go on, okay?
Yeah,
that's
great.
I play awesome. So listen, the Yankees... Hear me out here real quick. I'll try and make it quick. It's a leadership problem, and it's not a Boone problem. It's not a talent problem. What's his name? Judge has got to get in somebody's face. Now, he doesn't have to do it with Susan Walton during an interview. He doesn't have to throw guys under the bus. but I need to look in the dugout and see him walking up and down with smoke coming out. He doesn't have to be addressing anybody in particular, but he's, you know, Derek Jeter.
Derek Jeter walked up and down the dugout with fire coming out of his ears?
No.
Because I don't ever remember that.
Jeter's the quiet. No, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, I'm just saying. Okay, good.
Jeter was the quiet guy. He's known as the consummate professional. He says all the right things. I think Judge is a little apprehensive. He wants to do the same thing, which is great professionally and career-wise. But he's a 6'7" gorilla, man. Somebody's got to be a Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence Taylor used to walk up and down the sidelines, not really addressing anybody or getting any.
I appreciate you, Tony. It's a different sport. Having a guy go up and down the sideline of a football game to get them amped up to go out there and be physical is a completely different thing than taking a baseball team and saying, you know, wait on that changeup. It's not the same thing. It's just not. And that's once a week as opposed to 162. And, you know, go out there like a bunch of crazed dogs was a playoff game. Like, you can't pull that card every single Sunday in a baseball game. You can't do it every Tuesday night. It's just different. And I'm not saying that Judge doesn't need to be part of the leadership group. And ultimately, it is personal responsibility. It is. It's on the players. It's much more on the players. They need to hold themselves accountable. You can bench a guy. He's getting paid a lot of money. He's got to feel like he's let his teammates down. Otherwise, it doesn't work. I'm not saying the manager is void of responsibility, and I'm on Boone for all this. Boone's having a terrible year. And I don't hate the sound that he says, because I understand he's protecting his teammates. His players. I don't like the casual nature with some of the things said by the players. That's what's bothering me. And that's on Boone. I'm open to that. It's on Boone. But, like, the idea that Judge needs to walk up and be fire and brimstone in the dugout, and then you literally say Derek Jeter, well, that wasn't Derek Jeter's personality. Okay, so we got to force Judge to have that personality because of his height. I'm sure things are said in the clubhouse. We're not privy to it. I'm sure Judge is trying to be a leader. Judge was talking to Stroman when Stroman had the outburst in Toronto. I'm sure Judge is trying to lead. Judge's leadership is not why Verdugo is 15 for 101. 15 for his last 101. You think Judge can yell that into, you know, being changed? You think Judge can yell a four-game hit streak into existence? It's just what it is. Those guys need to be better. Danny and Belrose, what's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. How you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy? What's going on?
Doing good. Doing really good. How was your time off?
It was all right. It wasn't as fun or eventful as I hope it would be, to be totally honest with you. Every day there was another issue why I couldn't do what I wanted to do. I just wanted to have a week where I did what I wanted to do, no questions asked. And every time, every single stupid thing popped up in my life.
Yeah, that's how it is.
That's how it is.
Yeah.
So, I'll get into more depth tomorrow, because I want Marco to... I know me and Marco kind of have a similar situation. I want to see if he feels my pain. So I'll talk to Marco tomorrow about my unfortunate week off.
Yeah, so I went to the Yankee game Saturday. My friend went to the game yesterday. Same old problems. Can't hit with runners in scoring position. Getting up too many home runs. Can't have clutch hits.
Yep.
I mean, I know what they got to fix. I don't know if Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone know what they got to fix, but they just look. I mean, 10 for the last 21. I mean, come on, you know, like enough is enough.
What do they need to fix? You said you know what they need to fix. What do they need to fix?
Well, they need to fix it. Obviously, they need someone in the bullpen. They got to get rid of DJ LeMahieu.
Yeah.
Obviously, Rizzo, you know, is gone. They basically, well, he's on the bench, but he's not doing nothing. They also need to fix the mechanics of the pitchers because They're leaving meatballs over the plate, you know?
I mean, you know what? They got to make their players play better. I got you. Yeah. But here's the thing. The trade deadline is approaching. It's 8 days away. And I think the Yankees are going to be super aggressive. They have no choice. Brian Cashman has no choice. He has to be super aggressive. Has to be. And I think they're going to trade. I think they're going to trade Spencer. I really do. I think they are. I don't think they have a choice. But here's the issue. It won't be enough. Like, here's the plain, simple truth of it all. If Volpe isn't a player, they're not going to win. If Verdugo is going to go 15 for his next 100, they're not going to win. If Gleyber Torres is useless, they're not going to win. All right, DJ LeMahieu, he's washed, he's cooked, he's whatever. You can replace one player. You can go out and get a third baseman. You can go do that. You can't go out and replace your left fielder, your shortstop, your second baseman. And they're killing them. They're killing them. You can go add a back of the bullpen piece. You can go add a good arm that will either be the eighth inning guy, rival Holmes for the closer at some point, but you can go get a legitimately good bullpen arm. You can go get a third baseman. You can go get maybe a back at the end of the rotation. Maybe you can get another bat somewhere, maybe. But you can't replace everybody. Now, you got Stanton coming back, you desperately need. You got hopefully, the Martian coming back. And hopefully Dominguez can bring something, because he was the backup plan for all this. He's the backup plan if Verdugo sucks. He's the backup plan if Stanton gets hurt, and he gets hurt himself. You mentioned Rizzo. He'll be back at some point, but to what end? Rice has been better than him. Like, there are just things that have to be improved from within. Otherwise, it's not going to work. And here's the thing. Here's the thing that is why I'm still confident in it and why I understand why many Yankee fans aren't, but here's why I am. The same team was the first team to 50 wins. It's the same team. It's the same team. Volpe was a huge part of it. Verdugo was a huge part of it. It's the same team. The starting rotation was vastly superior than what it is right now. The bullpen was better than it is right now. Same guys for the most part. Same guys. You got Efros coming back. Hopefully you can add one. But it's the same team that was the first in Major League Baseball with 50 wins. It's the same team that was so good that even now with this putrid offense, I believe, if I do quick math, is 499 the highest number? Yeah. The Yankees lead the American League in runs scored. They can't get a guy in from third with less than two outs for the last month and a half. They still lead Major League Baseball in runs scored. The American League. They still lead the American League in run differential. And they've been worse than anybody this side of the White Sox the last month and a half. That's how good they were for the first 2.5 months. That's how good they were. And it's the same team. It's not like they've lost. It's not like it was with Judge and now without Judge. It's not like it was with Soto and now it's without Soto. It's not like it was some sort of, you know, they've lost four or five guys. They're down Stanton. Otherwise, it's the same team that was the best in Major League Baseball for 2 months. Can they get back to that? I don't know, but they can get close enough with the additions to maybe make something here. And I'll believe it till I can't see it.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They've done it against the Atlanta Braves. They've come from 7 runs down here at the bottom of the 8th inning. They lead it 11-8. Incredible. Piazza with his 22nd home run of the year. And this place is absolute bedlam here at Shea.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
.430, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Some really terrible news for a family and a guy we know very well here, former Met general manager and current Yankee executive Omar Minaya. And, you know, tragic news. His wife, Rachel, was found dead in their New Jersey home. So very little out there other than that. On Saturday, Rachel was found dead in their New Jersey home. Apparently, Omar was not with her at the time. And real no details, but terrible news for the Minaya family, and we wish them the best. Just a terrible, sad story. As obviously Omar, who was the GM for the Mets for so long and so integral in building up a lot of the talent and was behind the 2015 team. He's been working with the Yankees for the last couple of years. We all know him very well. He was on with Mike all the time. Obviously, he's a figure here in New York. Just a sad, terrible, terrible story. So our best to the Minayas. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. I just saw that a few minutes ago. I wanted to just mention it because it's just awful. I feel for them. Let's go to the calls, though. Let's go to Peter in Manhattan. What's up, Pete? You're on the fan.
Hi. Welcome back, Chris. Just a few comments, Chris. When you have a family, things never go your way. So I'm just giving you advice.
Oh, yeah, with the vacation. Yeah, no, it's just always, especially...
With anything. Not vacation. With anything. Yeah. With anything.
You know, it's I know you say it, but it's like with... Like, it was the weather, like, everything that could have worked against me. Everything that could have worked against me for me playing golf. I was going to go to the movies by myself or something. I was going to go to the batting cage. I was going to go do a lot of different things. That was the plan. I even have, like, a community. I have a community pool. I was going to sit by the pool, have a couple cocktails on my day off. I had plans, man. I was going to enjoy myself and do nothing. I was going to be Ferris Bueller. The world was mine. And yet... At every turn, something popped up that prevented me from living out that weak dream. Something every day.
Yeah. Well, Chris, just a few more condolences. I mean, geez, I heard the sad news.
Yeah, I mean, incredible. Yeah, I mean, just I was out there in the newsroom. Jerry mentioned it. I'd seen it earlier. I forgot to mention it. It's just terrible, terrible.
Yeah. Chris, just a less important news. You know, you talk about the Yankees getting a good start. I mean, look at the history of Boone. It seems like the Yankees always get off to a great start. I mean, just this whole history. And then they get a losing streak. So that's just the history they have.
It has been for the last couple of years, I guess. I mean, I don't know about consistently. Last year they got off to a decent start. They were 10 games over 500. Then Judge went down. I mean, that's a line of demarcation. Judge got hurt. They were no longer good. This year is a little bit different. 2022 is a little bit different. Those are the two years that really jump out at you. 21, they were kind of miserable the whole way. I mean, they would have winning streaks and losing streaks, but I don't ever remember it as pronounced as, I mean, 2 years in 2022, we were comparing them to the 98 Yankees. Their record was crazy. Like, I don't think anybody honestly thought they were as good as the 98 Yankees, but their record was on par. I mean, they were just they didn't lose. And then they just went to this tailspin where they were awful. And now this year, it's not so much the great starts and then, you know, coming back down to earth. It's the great starts and then being awful. Very rarely do you see a team be the best team in baseball for a long stretch and follow it up with being the worst team in baseball for a long stretch. Yeah. I mean, sure, all right, you come back to earth, you don't win at the same clip, fine. You go 500 for a month. You don't go 11 games under 500 for a month.
Right, especially the pitching. The other comment I want to make with Cashman, I think the issue here, he never makes the big trades because he doesn't really have to. Chris, I think this guy's got a lifetime job, and there's no reason for him to make. He's not under pressure to make the trades, whatever, so he just doesn't make them. I mean, that's his history. That's the reason he doesn't make.
You think Brian Cashman's history is not making trades?
No. I mean, lately. I mean, there's no.
No, I mean, last year he didn't make trades. That's fair. Last year he didn't make trades. That's it. Brian Cashman, I completely disagree with you on the pressure to make trades. I think Brian Cashman's under immense pressure to make trades. I mean, does he have a lifetime job? I don't know if it's that dramatic. I know people like to throw that around. But yeah, sure. Brian Cashman is entrenched with the New York Yankees. And I honestly believe, and I've said this before, I honestly believe that Hal Steinbrenner is scared to fire Brian Cashman. It's all he knows. Brian Cashman is everything. He runs everything. And they are comfortable with him running everything because they know what the product brings. Sure, this is where I'll agree on some level that, you know, I think sometimes it gets overblown that the Yankees only care about chicken buckets and only care about money. And as long as they win on some level, everything's okay. I think that's overblown. I don't think it's entirely true. I think they want to win championships and they're striving to win championships. And they'll do whatever they think that is needed to win championships. They just don't think it needs to be at whatever level. And they're comfortable with the idea of Brian Cashman being competent and always giving them a chance to get there. So on that level, I'll agree where they don't want to fire Brian Cashman because, one, they'll have to either hire someone that they're as comfortable running everything, or they'll have to be more hands-on, and they're not comfortable with it. Brian Cashman runs everything. You've got minor league systems. You've got, like, it's so much to run a baseball franchise, and he does all of it. And I just think they've grown comfortable, and they know, hey, all right, we haven't won a championship, but Brian Cashman consistently puts out a great product. We win a lot of games and we have a chance to win a championship. And it's not that they're comfortable with just that, but they're comfortable knowing Brian Cashman gives them a chance. And plus, you see things and read books. I just finished the Martino book. I mean, Billy Bean of the Oakland A's could not have bent over backwards more for Brian Cashman to call him the greatest GM in the history of the sport. So, I mean, I think he is not alone in that sentiment. I think there are a lot of baseball people inside baseball who are very impressed with what Brian Cashman has been able to do, even if you are not, and even if I'm not, and even if whoever else isn't. So they hear, hey, I have a world-class Hall of Fame caliber GM who, even on down years, wins me 90 games, and he does everything. It's going to take a lot for them to get out of their comfort zone, fire that person, bring in someone else they have no idea what will do with the organization, and have to probably be more hands-on than the just, go ahead, Brian, go take care of it. Now, that I don't think is necessarily a lifetime position, but it sure is difficult to get fired. But I don't think he is. I mean, he has to go make trades every year because it's about winning. He can't just sit on his laurels. He can't just, oh, well, you know, we'll sit this one out. He's constantly out there. I think it's part of the reason that I've defended him on, listen, bad trades are bad trades. But part of the reason I've given him a break on some bad trades is because he can't just sit one out. Like, you can argue whether or not you want to give up top prospects for Luis Castillo, right? A couple years ago, that was it, right? 2022, Luis Castillo's out there. He's the big starting pitcher. They want the top of the cream of the crop. They want Volpe. They want possibly Dominguez. They want everybody. They want cream of the crop. And that's what Seattle gave to them. He didn't want to do that, but he can't sit it out. So he's got to go get Montas, even though he's not sure about the shoulder, because he can't sit it out. Like, that's Brian Cashman's constantly making trades, constantly making deadline moves. And the pressure to make them is why he makes them. But lately, he's been unwilling to make deals that he's a little uncomfortable with. But he's going to have to do that this year, I would think. Rocco in Saratoga. What's up, Rocco?
Good Monday morning, Chris.
Good it Monday morning.
Let's change the beat here. Hey, it doesn't sound like the time off was worth it, Chris, huh?
No. I did get some sleep. I spent a lot. I mean, here's the thing, though. It's not like, oh, I spent a lot of time with the kids. I spend a lot of time. I'm with them every second they're not asleep or at school. So it's not, like, on the everyday, like, with my schedule, I'm with them constantly. So it's not like, and that's a great thing. I'm very happy about it. That's the best part of the schedule, is how much I see my family. But, like, it's not like, oh, I went on vacation. Oh, at least I got to, like, really hang out with the kids. I do that all the time anyway. So,
yeah, you were looking for something different.
I was looking for me time, because the only me time I have is to try and sleep in the afternoon. I was looking for free afternoons on a nice summer week. And instead, I got, it's so hot, the kids can't be at camp. I got, oh, doctor's appointment I forgot all about. I got, hey, can you please, you know, drive me all the way to here because I'm uncomfortable driving long distances. I got all kinds of things. I got all kinds of things thrown at me this week.
Hey, only the Yankees having a worse time.
And I got the Yankees. And I got the Yankees on Sunday blowing a game against Baltimore. They had no right blowing. Volpe and Verdugo, arguably their two best defensive players, falling down. And then I got followed by the last two games heading into coming back. I mean, just, I got bookend by lousy Yankee series. It's just, it's a disaster.
Yeah. I don't. It's like the damn movie Twister. You know, it's a disaster.
Sure. It's exactly. It's like, yeah, exactly right. My life is Twister without Helen Hunt. That's it. That's my life. That's exactly. You nailed it, Rocco. I'm living through Twister. It's just me wrapping myself in a belt on a pole, hanging on for dear life. And we mix in some miserable baseball along the way. Again, that game on Sunday, that bothered the hell out of me. That was the worst loss of the year, and then I had to hear every single member of the fan base blaming the wrong person. I couldn't handle it. I lost it. I actually did lose it. My wife was really not happy with me. I was on my phone constantly arguing with, you know, anyone who wanted smoke. I was all about it. I knew I wasn't going to be on for a week. I wasn't going to be able to talk about it on the radio. The Yankees weren't going to play for a week. And so I was like, this is my time. I gotta get my Yankee frustration out on somebody. And we were at my in-law's house, and I'm on the phone constantly. I'm not being as, you know, talkative and wonderful and clever and as I usually am, debonair even. Like, the debonair went out the window. And I fell right into a Twitter wormhole arguing with idiots who want to blame the closer when he got four outs. Four. Sorry he didn't get the fifth. Guys are falling down in the outfield. We're blaming the closer. Falling down. And we're blaming the closer. Drove me nuts.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
What'll I find?
Give me a word, give me a sign. Show me where to look, tell me what will I find?
This takes me back. This one always reminds me of my childhood. No. Hey, 4:49, McMonagle here with you, Rat. Another 10 minutes until the warm-up show comes your way. Crystal Presti out there reminding me about the Yankee revenue. That's what happens when you're the Yankee shill. They throw things at you, trying to knock you down. Trying to knock me off my shill perch. Not going to happen. But yes, someone put out the, I saw it on Twitter as well, someone put out the money made and money put back into the team. And the Yankees, by far, make the most money and are, I believe it was 14th, but in the, or maybe 16th, somewhere around there, somewhere right around midway as far as putting that revenue back into the team. So while I don't necessarily think spending the most money guarantees you anything anymore, it's a different game. We saw it with the Mets. When Hal Steinbrenner, I know they have shareholders, I know they have a lease agreement on the building, but when Hal Steinbrenner, who we can get on to for all of this, why not? Let's blame him as well. When you go back to Hal Steinbrenner's comments of, you know, a payroll of this height, of this level isn't feasible, I don't believe he's being accurate. It's feasible. It's very feasible. It's the epitome of feasible. If you look up feasible in the dictionary, there's a picture of Hal Steinbrenner spending money. That's feasible. He doesn't want to do it. He doesn't deem it to be necessary to build a winning team. That's fair, too. There are times when he's going to have to, which, by the way, I do think that that comment is not necessarily meant for, like, tomorrow or next year. They still have a useless DJ LeMahieu. They still have a big contract in Giancarlo Stanton. I do believe they're going to go after Juan Soto. They're paying Judge a ton of money. They're paying Cole a ton of money. That's why winning this year is so important. And that's why they're going to go out there and do it. So I don't think there's any way that next year you're going to see a payroll completely bottom out or get way under where he's looking to get. I think he just means moving forward, the plan isn't to keep it at this level. Ultimately, I'd like to have the team where I don't have to spend this much money on it. I do think the next couple years, certainly next year, he's going to probably have to. And I don't think he won't. I don't think he's going to jettison guys or just completely, abandon trying to win in the name of getting under this luxury threshold. But moving forward, he doesn't want to spend this much money. And that's fine. And just tell us that. Don't say it's not feasible, because it's feasible. You make, $600 million, whatever number it was. It was by far the most in Major League Baseball. You're making the most money, and you're putting in a smaller percentage than half the league. You can pay more. You can. So there you go. Well, this is fun. How else can we knock the Yankees to end the show? Anything else? Anything else we can find? I'm sure there's a lot. Right now. You can knock a lot about the Yankees right now. Someone just sent me a tweet. You can also hit me up on Twitter, at CMACWFAN. Boone said yesterday, DJ LeMayo has a great swing and deserves to fight his way out of this. How long? Yeah, I agree. I think we're at our wit's end with that. He's not one of the guys I deem irreplaceable. I have three, count them, three. 1, 2, 3. Verdugo, Volpe, Torres. I don't see any way of avoiding the fact that they need to be better. DJ LeMay, you can go away. They can go get a third baseman. There's multiple options. They can do it. You do not have to look at DJ LeMahieu ever again. And it's getting to that point because I get it. I talked about this earlier. When you hit him lead off, everyone goes crazy and screams. I get it because getting him hot, getting him going, having him actually become a Major League Baseball player again is more valuable than any given win. I don't care who it's against. It just is. So if they want to try putting him in leadoff in front of Soto and Judge and getting him fastballs, I'm open to it. But when you do it for two or three games, and he goes, 1 for 17, well, how long can you do it? And I think we've reached I know he's been benched for a couple days. They'll put him back in there. Cabrera had better at bats. It's just at the point where, how long can you try this? He says he's 100% healthy. I don't know what else there is to do with DJ LeMahieu other than not play him. I mean, it's that bad. And I feel like, when he says good swing, I've seen good swings from DJ LeMahieu. The ball goes nowhere. He's been zapped of anything. And he puts the ball on the ground way too much for someone who can't run. He's a double play waiting to happen. And God knows the Yankees do love their double plays. But there's only so much that can be done at the trade deadline. And they're going to try. I mean, the idea that anybody would think like that this team isn't good enough to go try and restock, help and go attack at the deadline. I mean, you might end up being right. I don't know, but it's not going to impact what the Yankees do. In the middle of Judge and Cole's prime of their career, along with the uncertainty of Juan Soto, along with the idea that Aaron Boone's contract is coming to an end, the idea that the fan base is just furious, and another losing season probably could end Brian Cashman's tenure as general manager, I just think there's no way. All the promises that was made by the owner, there's no way they sit it out. And I'll tell you right now, if they don't get what they need, and they sat there and didn't trade Spencer Jones, shame on them. I'm sorry. I'm at that point. We waited for Volpe. We didn't go sign Seager. They didn't go sign Turner. They didn't go sign Trevor Story. They didn't go sign Carlos Correa. They didn't go sign every single shortstop that came along the way over the last 2 years. Nope, we have Volpe. Nope, we have Volpe. Nope, we have Volpe. Nope, we have Volpe. Well, I've seen Volpe. And I still think he's got a promising career ahead of him, but is he going to be Seager? Is he going to be Gunnar Henderson? No, he's not. Unfortunately, no, he's not. And you can't wait around. You got Jason Dominguez here. That's it. I can't wait 2 years for Spencer Jones to come up here and not be what you thought he was going to be. It's time. This is the year. You got to go chase it. And it's up for grabs, man. It's absolutely up for grabs. Look at the American League. Which, by the way, Can I just, you know, settle some more debts as I am this week, as I was off last week? I guess, can we look back at the Yankees and count the 6 out of 7 against the Astros as beating a good team? Because guess what? The Astros are in first place. So, I mean, everyone was telling me the Yankees don't beat good teams and we couldn't include the Astros because they weren't a good team. I guess we can include them now. So when you think about all the good teams the Yankees have beat, or the lack of them, hey, 6 out of 7 against the first place Astros. Rack it up. Mark it up. There you go. There's your Yankee shill for you.
Those games don't count.
The only thing that counts is right now, and right now they're putrid. And it's hard to watch them. And we get to watch Carlos Rodon later today. I don't know how much more I could take of this. But Carlos Rodon in a big spot. He's been unable to do it. He's been unable to come through. He's been unable to deal with any sort of adversity. He's been unable to do with any sort of added pressure. It has been a rough go for him. It's been a rough go for really the entire starting rotation. It's been a rough go for this offense. And yet it's all there in front of him. You don't take my word for it. Just ask the manager. It's right there in front of them. And it starts now, and then obviously we'll prep for 2 big games against the Mets. I didn't get to talk about that either. Maybe tomorrow. The Mets next year, Yankees and Mets. Moving forward, 4th of July next year should be fun. Baseball on the 4th of July, what a novelty. Maybe they'll actually throw in Labor Day and Memorial Day too. Let's not get crazy. But Yankees, Mets, next 4th of July, but in 2 days. Luis Gil and Gerrit Cole on the mound for the Yankees, and probably Manaea and Quintana for the Mets. 2 important games. And the Mets need to finish a game they have later today with Miami. And the Yankees need to take on the Tampa Bay Rays. And both looking to salvage series in what would be a poor start to the second half. For both of our baseball teams, looking to make some noise. And in July 30th as well as in October. That's it for me. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Fleegs. We'll catch you tomorrow for a 5-hour midnight ride. As I'll take you from midnight to 5 a.m. But that's for tomorrow. For now, I say goodbye. Have a great rest of your Monday. The warm-up show is next. Chris Lopresti is here. He'll have more fun tidbits. Like the Yankees make more money and spend less. Thanks, Chris. Just what I needed. Everybody have a good day. I'm out of here. Catch you tomorrow at midnight. Have a good Monday. See you later.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFN.